Well, hello, everyone. Hello. Boom dia. Buenos dias. Bonjour. We're good. Welcome, everybody. I was trying to make sure I shared everything for those who aren't with us this week online, so making sure on all our socials that we get sure to make sure those who are watching around the world throughout the week are following along with us. And I'm excited today because we're doing a series we've done before, but it's also one that is always a good thing for us to do, and it is our We Are the Church series. And so we're going to be walking through over these next few weeks what we believe at the Vine, what we call our Vine Code, okay? And what better way to start off? And here's what I want you to do. Let three people know right now, God loves you. You can do it. God loves you, right? God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you online, wherever you're watching. God loves you. Yes. God loves me. You know why God loves me? Because I'm still breathing right now. Anyway, for the Bible tells me, so. VBS season, y'all, get into it. So just as we are getting ready and fired up about that, that is the one thing we want you to know. No matter what, wherever you are, whatever season you're in, whatever you're walking in here with, God loves you. It is why we are here, right? So I know we got some free spirits in the room, but I think you're going to agree with me when I ask this, okay? How many of us like knowing why we're doing what we're doing? Right? Isn't it great to know a mission you're behind, like what the center of things are? Because here's the reason why. Those that don't understand, sometimes we do just got to go with the flow, man. Like, we got to do that sometimes. I totally agree with that. Sometimes we do. We just got to take what's given. But the thing is, there still has to be a mission behind it, and this is why. When you know the mission behind something, isn't it easier to say yes to the right things and no to the wrong things? Like, it just makes you have more comfort in that. And so that's why we do this series every year, is we do it every year. We talk about what we believe at the Vine, and what I want for us as a Vine fam is the last time we did this, we were in a different season, right? Like, things have changed. How we're going to hit with what we believe today, the Lord's going to give you a next step. He's going to lean into you. It's going to be something completely different. God may be calling you to do something you didn't know. Maybe you've been wrestling with it since the last time we did this series, and I believe he's going to give you the freedom to take that next step today. So here's what we're going to walk through today. This is a conglomeration of three Vine Code items, and it'll make sense when we get there. So here we go. It's the longest title I think I've ever had in a message. It's wonderful. Poor Zach has been, he had to sit there, man. He was scaling, and it's crazy. I'm thankful for him. So here we go. What we're going to lean into today is the center of a faith-filled big life to glorify God. The center of a faith-filled big life to glorify God. It'll make sense prayerfully here in a minute. So if you've got your Bible today, we're going to spend most of our time in Colossians 1. I'm excited about that. It's a little different. We're going to see the Vine Code come alive in there. But we're also going to be in, surprise, surprise, John 15 to begin with. So wherever you are, if you want to go ahead and get in your Bible to that space. If you don't have a Bible, as always, we got them free for the asking over in the garden. You go pick that up. You write your name in it and you bring it back here, not next week with your smiling face, but the following week, when we get to gather together on the 7th, and we have a special service that day to get to come back together, because just a reminder, as Matt shared, if you're just catching us on the podcast, sometimes we get the welcome in there, sometimes we don't, but we are on our summer Sabbath next week in obedience to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes we need a Sabbath, don't we? I'm terrible at it. I'm not going to lie to you. So I'm thankful for the beach vacations, right? Watch out for sharks and hurricanes. We'll be good. Both of which, okay, never mind, but hurricanes. When has Miami been good in football recently? Anyway, we won't open that. Tough crowd. So that being said, all the way through, you got to watch that, and we're going to take those. So we will love to see you then. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and get to Colossians and John 15. If you don't, as always, our Vine Church has a perfect resource right now, especially as we go into Sabbath. Completely keep up with us. Know when we're doing it. You can watch live. But as always, Zach always makes sure we're taking care of him. Thankful for him wherever you're watching around the world. The scripture will be on the screen. If you're with me, give me an amen as always. Amen in the house of the Lord. So if we're going to talk about what we believe at a church, we've got to understand where the Vine comes from, okay? So the Vine comes from John 15:5. And it's this, if you don't know it, this is my life verse. This is something that's always spoke to me. If you don't know what that is, it's just kind of a verse that defines your mission in life, okay? And it is this. Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do everything, something, nothing. See, everything we do is for Jesus. Everything we do flows from Jesus. Every bit of fruit that we bear is about Jesus. It's not about our name. We can't do anything with him. Everybody that's here understands, like, we're not trying to, it's not about how big the building is. It's not about how many chairs we get out, how big our sign is. Can it be seen from the Tesla floating around that Elon put up there in orbit? Can we be seen that way? No, no, no. The one thing we want is Jesus' name to have all the fame. And that's why we do what we do. Because we're built and created to have everlasting fruit. And everything that we have flows from the vine. Now, I'll tell you a little bit about this. What's really crazy awesome about this verse is I always hung on to this verse. Probably since middle school, I've hung on to that verse. But the first time I ever saw it outside of it, Panthers training camp. Is it here again this year? I don't even know. I should know these things. I don't think it is here anymore, right? I'm going to be there training. I don't know what I'm training for, so I'll sign autographs later after that. It'll be okay. But one of the guys that would hang out there, they had a kicker forever named John Casey. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that if you follow sports. But he signed, that is actually his life verse too. Every autograph he gives to everyone, that is what's underneath. And I always thought, man, that's cool. You got to do that. You know, that's kind of cool. Somebody else believes in that. But that's a nice thing that he does by being the gospel to everyone. So this is why I'm sharing that. To know where the vine came from and what we believe, you got to understand why we're here. Because it's been almost 7 years. The plan was not to be here. Because we didn't have the plan. We didn't start from a church planters network. We didn't have seed money. We didn't go get mad and start a church split and do all that thing. We just said, Jesus, what would you have us do? And we were looking for a location. And they started talking about the rent, and I was like, there's too many zeros on that side of the decimal point. No, like, we're a debt-free church. We don't believe in going into debt, even though we celebrate these massive numbers that Jesus has allowed us to be a part of, sowing into global missions, where we believe Jesus will provide. And the reason we know this, we can read it, what, in the Old Testament? Did Solomon have to pay for anything for the temple? Nope, it was all provided. We believe the same. Nothing wrong if God's called a church to go into debt. We're not beating people up with that. That's just not what he called us to. So long story short, I sell houses sometimes. We'll just see. It depends on the economy. But sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. We'll see. But I was having a real estate closing across the street with an attorney, okay? And it was just one of those. It was just like pulling teeth. It was a tough closing. The closing was ready, but we couldn't get funding. And what do I mean by that is if I'm selling my house, I want to get my money in my hand before you get my keys, right? Like, that's what we mean by funding. Like, I ain't going to give you my keys without my money. Like, I understand that. So the first time we go and they're saying, hey, we're having a problem with the lender. We'll get it cleared up. Give us about an hour. Well, I lived across town at the time. My office was across town at the time. So I'm like, an hour? Like, dude, but I'm just going to get home and then come back around. I'm not going to do that. So I hung out here in the parking lot here at the YMCA because it's across the street. What better thing to do? And I hear God say, why not here? I'm like, what do you mean, why not in a parking lot? Like, are you crazy? I'm hearing things. Maybe there was something in that Starbucks. I don't know. Something was wrong. So I go back across the street, and an hour later, guess what? They still didn't have the money. We still weren't ready. Something was wrong. So they said, give us another hour. Y'all are killing me with this hour. You couldn't call somebody and tell me, okay, come back across the street, and I hear, why not here? And see, you have to know God has a sense of humor because I have a hard head. And it's almost like he had to have somebody with a megaphone. Hey, dummy, roll down the window. Why not here? What do you mean, why not here? Having lunch, dinner, what do you want me to do here? It's a YMCA. Why would they have church in the YMCA? I know. Pray for me. Go back across the street. And as we're getting there, still waiting, we still had a problem. They said 30 minutes that time. So we come back the fourth and final time. And I just said, okay, Lord, if I did hear you, the person who is going to get us in the space will meet me at the front door. After the closing, I came across the street, and who meets me? The person who would get us in the space. His name was Ken Bailey. We set up an appointment to meet later, and here we are. So what I mean by that is it's not that we don't plan, it's not that we don't trust the Lord or we just blindly go into it, even though if God called us to, we'd be glad to. You just have to understand where we came from to know where God's bringing us. So every week we get to be here, it's a blessing. So now that you know that, and I've kind of bored you a little bit, it's okay. I get excited about it because I look at my disobedience, and that should tell you that, hey, I'm not perfect either. I'm still figuring this out as well, and Jesus sometimes has to smack me upside of the head about 7 times a day and say, son, just listen. And maybe that's where you are, and that's why I'm thankful you're here, because nobody in this house is perfect. So if you think you can't come to church because of what happened to you in your past, or maybe we're going to judge you, we're not here to judge you. That's not our job. We're going to meet you right where you are, but we're going to share the truth of the hope of the gospel. Because in this place, everybody's got a place, but the most important thing that happens in this place is Jesus is not only known, but some surrender to him for the first time to give their life to Christ, and that's why we're here. Okay, so let's go forward. So we're going to be in Colossians. You got your Bible, Colossians 1. Those who are really nice and orderly, you're going to be shocked a little bit. No, you're not going to be shocked. You're not going to be shocked. We're going to start at the bottom of Colossians 1 and work our way up. I know. It'll make sense in the end where we're coming from, but we're going to go deeper into the letter to the church in Colossians, the Colossae church. And if you're doing your Bible reading plan with us, if you don't know, it's perfect time for the app. I'm plugging it. I know, because it makes sense. You can follow along with us. We're reading about Colossians and Louis Giglio down at Passion Church in Atlanta. It's kind of leading the Devo and giving a lot of the details, so I won't bore you with a lot of it, but long story short, somewhere around the 60s, some scholars say 62 to 65, some say 60 to 63 AD, Paul's writing this letter to the church in Colossae. And what's happening is they are believing in the Lord, but as things tend to happen, they're challenging who Jesus is, his deity, but they're also adding on to salvation. They're saying salvation isn't just confessing and repenting and believing in faith to receive the gift. They're saying you got to do these 15 steps before it happens. They're becoming very Pharisaical. And so Paul is just taken back and says, hey, whoa. It's not that complicated. You either trust Jesus or you don't. And then inside of that, the problem that you may not trust Jesus is you don't think Jesus is the Son of God. You just think he's one of the gods. That's what they were struggling with. So now we can understand what's happening with Paul's letter. We can talk about the three things that we start off our Vine code with and what we believe. And the first is this. Jesus is the center. Jesus is the center. He is the center of everything that we do. Not sinner, not S-I-N-N-E-R. That's me. I'm the center. But Jesus is the center, the C-E-N-T-E-R. He is the gravitational force to everything that we do. And we're going to see Paul explain that in Colossians 1, starting in verse 15 to 20. And it says this, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Just take that in for a second. Jesus, the Word, become flesh for us, the firstborn over all creation. So now we get to actually see God. Before, we had to give a sacrifice, and we'd come in with a veiled face, right? And then afterwards, remember, Moses was glowing after he came into the presence of the Lord. Now, through Christ, we don't have to worry about that. And look at this, and here's where I need your help. Can you help me? Give me an amen if you can. Every time all things pops up in the next two verses, 16 and 17, we're going to say all things together. Can we do that, church? All right, we can do it. Here we go. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. If you take notes in your Bible, this is a perfect time to highlight, because I just want to ask you, did it say some things? Did it just say church people? Did it just say tithes and offerings he holds together? Did it just be your best of intentions he holds together? All things. He holds all things together. He created all things, and they were created for him, and he was before all things. So before Genesis 1, he was there. When God spoke the word, that was Jesus, the word breaking forth for each and every one of us, all things. So whenever you think Jesus has left you, whenever you think what you're going through, you're walking through all alone, Jesus is there. All things. It goes on to say this in verse 18 and 19 and 20. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Church, that's the gospel in three verses. That is exactly what we have through Christ. We get to have the fullness of God that dwelled in him actually be dwelling in us, the church. That's where Paul writes about our body being a temple, and it should be holy and pleasing to the Lord. No longer do we have to make pilgrimages. Aren't you excited about that? We don't have to go to Jerusalem seven times a year and figure out what sacrifice to bring. If you're hanging out with us in Hebrews, we talked about the average sacrifice, believe this or not, for a 67-year-old Israelite, 116,000 sacrifices they would have had to make. 116,000 animals they would have had to bring for a sacrifice in 67 years. I don't know if I've got 116,000 of anything but dust mites, maybe. I don't know what else I have 116,000 of. Think about that. It's crazy, aren't you? That's the freedom. Like, I don't know about you. That gets me excited because I'm like, thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Because, man, every Sunday I'd have a trail of sheep and goats. And bah, they're just all running around trying to get to church. See how I did that real quick? I saw that, so I had to go to that side of the stage. Bad. And then all of a sudden, do I got to have a ram or do I got to have a bull this time? And I'm just going to be riding a longhorn in. I don't have to worry about any of that. Because see, then I'd have to worry about myself. Then I got to worry about yours and your 15 sheep and your 15. Now, what is this for? A peace offering or a friendship offering? Just put it all together. We'll have a crock pot. It's good to go. We'll just put it all together. I don't have to worry about that by God's grace. I'm thankful for that. We should all be thankful for that. Why does this all matter? Jesus is the center of all that we do. I want you to think about this. I heard the Bible described this way, and it was beautiful, and I've stuck with it. It's God's love letter to give to his son, the groom, about his bride, and he's going to give it to her on his wedding day. What does this mean? Give it to him on his wedding day. Jesus is the thread of love throughout the Bible, but he is the thread of love throughout all time for us that God is using to sew us together as family. Now, either we cling to that thread or we reject it. When we reject it, we are broken apart of being from everything we were created to be in, which is relationship with God. But through Christ, we are all held together. And that just gets me excited because you know what that means? I can't mess it up. I can't screw that up because it ain't on me to hold it together. It's on Jesus, and I'm hanging on for dear life. Have you ever thought about gravity? We talked about this before. And no, I'm not going to John Mayer you and just, gravity. I ain't going to do that. We're not going to do that today. I couldn't do that. Our solar system, I'll go ahead really quickly before you come at me online. If you're going to say something here in a moment, how can all four hemispheres of the earth have different seasons at the same time? And how can all four hemispheres see different patterns of the sky and stars at the same time? There's a curve to the earth. I'll leave it at that. So, solar system, wherever you are, if you're trying to fight me on it, I'm just being real. Why does the northern hemisphere see a different part of the sky than the southern hemisphere? Do we flip this way or something? Anyway, I'm not going to fight you on that. If you want to come at me with that, that's fine, but that doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. So, that being said, the solar system is held together by gravity. We are held by gravity. We think we don't like it until we lose it. And we're floating up there with that Tesla, right? Like, we are trying to hang on. Like, you can't put your feet down on something that matters. Like, I'll put it to you this way. When we talk about gravity, when you're in the hospital and you can't put your feet on the ground, that bothers you, right? Imagine living like that forever. Gravity has importance. What is it, 9.8 meters per second squared or something like that? Is that right? The acceleration, right, of gravity, what it holds us at, right? Unless it's in a vacuum, and then we have different things, right? That being said, gravity matters. As we get older, we don't like it, but we see its effects. But at the same time, it's important. The thing that is pulling us together, the gravity, is Christ. That's the gravity of all we do. And how does that play out? Hebrews 16:9 always talks about it. He is the anchor of our hope. We have to have gravity because is this life going to have storms? Was it taught on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7? There were two houses. One was on the sand, one was on the rock, right? They both had the wind, the rain, the flood, the waves. Only one survived. So don't think following Jesus is just going to be easy peasy. It is like winning the lottery. It's better than winning the lottery, but it don't mean everything's going to be easy. It don't mean that everything's going to work out. It doesn't mean that we aren't going to have seasons of struggle. It just means he is the thing holding us in the storm. He is the anchor. And when he's the anchor, man, that's exciting to me. Because I ain't got to worry about going adrift. I got to worry about crashing on the shore. So wherever you are today, I want you to know here at the Vine, we believe Jesus is the center. The second thing we believe at the Vine, whew, it's a mouthful. Okay, let me get a deep breath here. We're good. All right. Living a faith-filled big life starts with small next steps in Christ. Building a faith-filled big life starts in small next steps with Christ. And I say that, we know many of us are seeing babies grow up because they don't keep. But does it start, like, do they start off training for the Olympics? It feels like it when they can walk, right? When they're running away, especially when they got a dirty diaper and you're just trying to change the thing, right? No, it's a small step we celebrate. Yet as we get older, we don't celebrate that as much. But let me ask you something. When we got to have the help of a walker, do we celebrate a big step or a small step? Amasi always used to say we're twice a child growing up, and that's why we always used to. Listen, she would say that when we watch Milo and Otis. Her and I would watch it. If you even know what I'm talking about, go back in the day. Come on Sundays. I don't even remember what channel it was on, but we'd always love it. Milo and Otis. She loved it. She would love any kind of kids movie. She would act like she wanted to just babysit, but she wanted to see it. She would always laugh, and it would always be good times. So why am I saying that? That's the same for us in Christ. We got to take those small steps. This is how Paul talks about it, and then we're going to talk about what we mean by these small steps. Colossians 1, verse 9 through 12, Paul unpacks that, and it says this. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. In other words, Paul is saying you got to know the Lord, you got to have faith in Him so that you know what next step to take. Otherwise, you're guessing. And what you're doing is you're taking the step and asking God to bless it instead of trusting Him to take the step He calls you to take, knowing that it's going to be blessed. And then he says again what I love, what we just read in John 15:5, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Really quick, bearing fruit is what we were created for. But I know this, you may not realize that as a child, but you like to bring joy to your parents. You may not think you do. You realize later you try to bring joy to your parents. Sometimes you do something that you are just like, I completely can't stand this. But if it makes them smile and bring joy, you're going to do it. I mean, you are. You say you don't, and then when you're a teenager, you just don't do it out of spite. That's usually what you try to do. I know that makes you happy, so I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to study. I know that's going to make you happy, right? But then you get older and you realize, man, those times are the fun times. That's when you get to cherish, because you remember what made them happy. You know what they want for you? You to be happy too. They delight in you. That's what we have in our Heavenly Father. And when we do His works, we bear good fruit. It goes on to say in 11 and 12, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. Is it in our might, church? No. His might, so that we may have great endurance and patience. There's that trying season again, like we talked about with Abraham last week. And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. Why does this matter? Because all of us, no matter where we are on the spectrum of following God, we want to know more about God. Even those who say, I don't believe there is a God, or I can't prove the existence of God, I guarantee you at some point your prayer has been, God, are you real? And if that is your prayer, awesome. Keep praying it. Ask God to reveal Himself. All of us want to know God more. Why? Because that's what we were created for, to know God. Why do we want to know God? Because we want to know freedom, real freedom, freedom from sin. I'm not talking William Wallace on the horse, but I would do it if I had to. Freedom. And that can only be found in a relationship with Creator God, and we can only have that relationship through Christ reconciling us back to Him. So how does this play out? What is Paul saying when it comes to get to know God more? Why does it matter? Well, he just told us in 9 through 12 to have this wisdom of God means we have to take our lenses off. Take your contacts out. What you see in front of you is not where your focus should be. It should be the lens of God and His kingdom. Big difference, right? Huge difference. See, one requires faith. One requires little, if any, faith. You know, really quickly, you know, I got a story for you. God, that was crazy. That came back to me. If any of you know me, you know I can't see well. Watch out in the parking lot, all of you, especially at Verizon. But that being said, another thing about this that no one knows about except Nate, and he hadn't ratted me out, so this is good. Last week at Hope Tour, he might have, and he's probably laughed. So at Hope Tour last week at Life Spring, he was peeping into worship, all right, at the very beginning, all right? He was trying to look in there and see what was happening. And so I go to pick him up because, you know, that's just what happens. And I go to, he goes to the back where we're keeping the kids there, and he said, "Will you walk me back to my classroom?" And obviously, yes. I'm going to walk you back to the classroom. That's fine. So I'm holding Nate with my right hand, and the doorway's right here. What do you think happened? Because it's on what side? My left side. I ran right into that dang doorway. I mean, I just straight into it, just played it off. You know, I just kept walking. Nate on. We get to the classroom. He shows me how to fix the ice cream machine, and I'm like, man, you are going to make millions showing McDonald's how to do this, because there's never works. Never works. So we were fixing that, and he was showing me how to fix it back there. And on the way out, there's this little ball, like, in the back of the playroom. I don't know what it was. It looked kind of like a turtle shell or something. It wasn't a Ninja Turtle. I tried to look. You know, it just wasn't what I thought it was going to be, right? Like, I was looking for Master Splinter. He wasn't there, even though he was probably scurrying in the parking lot. And it's on my left-hand side, so what do you think happens? I run right into it. Can't see anything. So the babysitter's laughing at this moment. So I'm surprised she hasn't said anything. But those are the only people. Now you all know. So now you know I can't see out of the left side. So watch out. If you're over here, you're in danger. So that being said, why does that matter? And what am I trying to tell you when it comes to those lenses? Is when I kicked that thing, I could have swore it hit that door at the sanctuary on the left-hand side. And I was just like, they're going to be, fine worship's just going to be in the middle of this. And you're just going to hear, and they're just going to be like, and I said, if they do it, man, I'm just going to say the Holy Spirit. I'm going to run through that thing dancing. I don't know what else to do, but nobody said anything. Why does this matter? Because, see, my whole life, I didn't want to have glasses. I didn't know if Mom could afford it, but I didn't think I could play sports if I had glasses. So you know what I did? I used to lie. You can't do that anymore. And I would memorize it with my right eye first. Whenever I had a physical, I'd make them do my right eye, and I would memorize the lines because I knew what lines I needed to pass, and then I'd just say it again. Well, at that time at the DMV, when I first got my license, they were the same side. I could do that. Then it hit 30, and now the DMV finally updated, and so now I have to go in there, and I can't see it. I can't see because it's different lines, and I can't memorize it. You know, sometimes I'll try to go in from the right and, you know, get the forehead over just to see. Fail every time. Why does that matter? Because my lens, I can't see. But when I have the right lens, well, I need new glasses, so as you obviously heard last week. But with the right lens on, I can see where I'm going and trust it. That's what Paul is saying. My prayer is you have the right lens, the God lens on. Why? Because that makes you want to continue in his way. And when we continue in his way, we get to be in his delight. And guess what else happens? We become exactly who we were created to be because we are walking in more freedom from sin that we were created to be in versus in our own way. So here at the Vine, that's why we talk about this. We want you to know the Lord intimately. We always want you to take a next step. No matter how small it is, maybe your next step today is praying with someone. That seems small to some people, but do you know how important that is? Maybe today your next step's serving. Maybe you see our Vine kids and you're just like, oh, I don't know if I can handle that. I don't know either, but I give them all the sugar before the parents pick them up, so I don't worry about it. If I'm back there like today, they're going to have ring pops. You're welcome. I know. Y'all hate me. So it's all right. They're going to have ring pops in a little bit on the way home. You're going to have blue and red mouth and whatever else they are. I'm very sorry in advance, but I give them that. But I enjoy the time I get to have with them. Sometimes we'll talk about it in a minute, but their families are here during load-in. They help me set things up. We steamed last week, so they're going to be able to start a clothes business. I feel like somebody's going to be able to dry clean some clothes here before long, and they help set up the tables over there. They help set up this church. I mean, it's amazing, but what I'm trying to get at is even those next steps seem small, but they're important. Maybe it's serving. Maybe it's just showing up when we show up at Invisible Ministries or Believe Outreach down on Walker Street, just feeding the homeless. I mean, just something simple. Maybe it's gathering together. You say, man, I don't have a home group for me, but I'd like to start one. We'd love to help you with that. We do it on Thursdays, but maybe it's not the right fit for you. Maybe, just maybe, it's serving in any of these other areas that we have. Maybe it's Vine Kids or helping us as Spur. I know we have some folks praying about our young adults and trying to help get a young adult ministry here. So, like, those things seem small, but they make such big impacts for the kingdom. And so that's why we want you to take that small next step. And here's the deal. That next step's the hardest step. Always. You may think it isn't, but it is. I can tell you in my walk with Christ, the next step he's calling me to take is always the hardest. But when I look back at his faithfulness and every other step, man, I can't help but take it. Just like Abraham going up Mount Moriah, every next step was hard. But he trusted the Lord. And the Lord provided, like we talked about last week. You still with me? Give me an amen. 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 We got one more. Okay, here we go. This is the fun one. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. It is the fun one. I enjoy this one because this is even better. We believe in honoring one another to glorify God. We believe in honoring one another to glorify God. Doesn't it help to know that you're seen? Like when I said servant, maybe you like to smile and wave at people. You're good at that. I mean, hey, those people out there during tax time got to do what they got to do with those signs, and they're great at it, don't they? I mean, they're great. They grab your attention. If they're on my left-hand side, I don't see them. It doesn't matter. But since we drive on the right-hand side of the road, I usually get to see them. We're good. But really, it's good to know you're seen. Why do you go to Chick-fil-A? Because they say my pleasure. Why do you shop at Publix? Because their floors are clean. Seriously. That's the difference. Hey, why do moms shop where they shop? I guarantee you that bathroom's clean when they walk in it. That's why I always used to tell my stores back in the Walgreens days. It's, you got to have clean bathrooms. You got to have a clean floor. If you're going to ever have a mom shop in your place, you're always going to get dad checking out on the way home or in a rush. And he's not an impulse shopper as much as you think. He really isn't going to impulse much. He knows what his list is, and he's going to forget three things on it because that's what we as men do because we certainly didn't write it down. And so we're going to get home, we're going to miss the three things, and we're going to go back out and get the other three things. But moms, what you don't realize is it's actually a ploy. We're just trying to get away for a little while. But we won't open that wound. Y'all can have that fight later. So that being said, though, we believe in honoring one another to glorify God. Let's look at this real quick. Colossians 1, verse 3 through 7. Here's how Paul talks about this. He says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of the gospel on our behalf. So Paul kind of wrapped all of that up to say all the way through, look, they're bearing fruit, they're growing in the Lord, their church is growing, their ministry is growing because they're growing, and it's all because of God's grace. So that challenge to the deity of Christ, he is going ahead and just smacking them in the face and saying, this is who Jesus is. We'll get more to that again in a second, but this is who Jesus is, and it's God's grace that you were saved, not because you tithed a tenth of your spices, not because you had to keep the Sabbath day holy or keep the other 600 Deuteronomical and priestly laws, Levitical laws. Why does this matter for us? What do we mean in honoring one another to glorify God? Well, we're going to weep with those who weep, right? We're going to mourn with those who mourn, but we're also going to rejoice. So many times I grew up in church, and there's a reverent awe we have to have for the Lord, but we should be able to laugh in church, because you know what? This is a picture of heaven. And if there ain't no laughter in heaven, I definitely ain't getting in, because you're going to laugh at me, not so much with me, but at me, and that's okay. I ain't worried about it, but we got to laugh sometimes, and we want to do that. And so when we come to church, I want you to know it, and this is something that I'm not trying to beat you up here, so just hear what I'm trying to say. We want to honor one another. You know, sometimes I talk about the encouragement basket. Send somebody an encouraging note. We want to create an avenue for that. When we honor one another, glorify God, we want you to say, hey, I saw you doing something, and I want to celebrate it. And you know what's going to end up happening? They're going to write you probably a note back to say, hey, I saw you doing something. I'm calling the cops. No, they're going to say, I saw you doing something. I want to encourage you, right? We want to encourage each other. So this is what I mean. Maybe you watch online or you're hanging out with us, and we got just a few more minutes here. I won't keep you much longer past the wage east rolls. Just hang in there. That being, you might have to do the express line if it's open today. But This church is built up and tore down every week. Every person, every one of our sowers that are here in Vine Worship every Sunday, them or a part of their family was here before the sun came up, or right when the sun came up. During the winter, definitely before the sun came up. If you go back there, anybody who's doing anything in production world, every week, whoever's back there, Zach, I know Tressa, I know whoever's back there, them and their families were here when the sun was up, each and every week, loading in this church, turning this gym into a space where we are praying on chairs, praying we can get things going by the time we get here, praying that maybe our stomachs are okay. I mean, it is what, praying, we're doing everything we could. And I do my best not to mess anything up when I get here, and usually I end up messing a lot of things up. But the reason I'm telling you that is what you won't see online either. And I just want to say, we need to say thank you to those folks for that, right? Like, every week, we do this. Now we're going to flip it around. We're going to get excited, okay? So here we go. So I'm not beating you up about load-in, but you're more than welcome to always come to us and load-in, because this is where God's called us. What you're not going to see on camera is after we finish the service, just about everybody in this space cleans it up. They load it out. We all come together. So we honor one another. So in other words, we're like, hey, we invite people to be a part of what God's doing here because we know you were up before the sun. But you know what? We want to honor you to get to them wage yeast rolls. So we're going to help you clean this place up. But in the in-between, we're going to have some community and fellowship and love on you. That's how we honor one another to glorify God. How does that translate? If we went out in the world and honored each other more than we beat each other up, can you imagine the impact we can make? Could you imagine actually, well, here we go, election. But we're not getting into politics, but right now, everybody's going to decide however you vote should decide whether I love you or not. And that's the stupidest thing in the world. We should be out there honoring one another, saying, you know what? I don't have to agree with everything that you believe, but the one thing that we got to have agreement on is who Jesus is. And if you don't know him, let me tell you about him. Let me tell you what he's done in my life. Let me see that. And I'm telling you, you know how you do that the nicest way? Say somebody's name. Dale Carnegie writes in that if you've ever been in business, I highly recommend a book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. He said the sweetest thing that anybody will ever hear is their name. The sweetest thing. Unless you're in trouble. And it's usually your first and middle, so you're good. But that being said, once I get the middle, you're just like, crap, I'm going to get a hickory. I'm going to get beat. I know what's going to happen. That being said, somebody's name. Say their name when they did something. And it will open the door for you to share the gospel more than you can believe. You know the easiest way to do that? That server you're going to see today, ask them how you can pray for them. I can tell you times that I've gone there, you know I'm not going to be going crazy on that much with that. But when I talk about how that goes, I've seen tears happen. I've seen people realize that they were seen for the first time and they mattered. I wish I could tell you I've seen salvation from it, but I believe the seeds of the gospel were sowed. So when we honor one another to glorify God here, it will spread out into the streets. And the reason I say that is here at our church, we aren't here to serve ourselves. This honor doesn't just stay here. We are here to be a part of Jesus growing his church. We serve each other for that, and we go out and bring it to the world. Why does that matter? Because there are people out there who think that they can't come into the church. And the lie that Satan has told them is we'll give them excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse why they shouldn't come in this place. And Satan is trying to tell them why they can't because he doesn't want them to hear the truth of the gospel. And so today, as we've shared what we believe at the Vine, I want to remind you how we started. If you get nothing else, I want you to know God loves you. Paul says it this way in Colossians 1 as we get ready to wrap up here. It says this in verse 19 through 22. I want you to really soak this up. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself, there's that word again, church, all things. Not some things, not the ones who got it all figured out, not the one percenters, not the ones who pay their taxes or even pay them on time or pay them early. We need to talk. But all of those, like, it's not the one who has the most Bible verses memorized, not the one who goes to the most church services, not the one who serves at the soup kitchen that much or gives so much, not the one who's got names on bricks outside of the building. All things, whether things on this earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood. I don't know about you, but all of us want some peace, don't we? The greatest peace we will have is in the Prince of Peace in Jesus. And how do we have it? Because through his blood, he shed it on the cross for us. Look at verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, in other words, because of sin. But he has now reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. In other words, Satan tries to keep us in our past mistakes and our shame and guilt. And then he tries to convince us that our future is nothing but failure. Yet in Christ, Christ is saying sin only leads to death, but through Christ you can have life. You have been set free from that sin. You have been set free from the shame, the guilt, the ultimate penalty of sin that is death. And as we see, Christ holds this all together. That is the thing that we have to understand when it comes to what Paul is saying, is Jesus is holding it all together, not some. Not your favorite dog, not a stray cat, bless your heart, not what you're doing and in your works. He is holding all things. In other words, right now, I want to ask you this. Do you realize all that we know, everything that we know about every little thing is because we know a creator who made it? Yeah, I mean, John ends saying, if we knew everything that Jesus did in his ministry on earth, all of the books in the world couldn't hold it. Think about that. Everything we know. Why does that matter? Because right now, you and I, we see Christ is holding all things together, but the most important thing he is holding is the opportunity to be reconciled into right relationship with God, to be set free from the penalty of sin, to be set free from what sin is leading us to, which is death. There is nothing else, death. And he is holding this opportunity in front of us so that we can be a part of God's family we were created to be in. There's an invitation because he came to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, sin. Sin, it is anything that is against the will of God, which means it is anything that is not perfect. And I don't know about you and I know I'm pretty perfect, but I'm not quite there, all right? 99.7, I'm just a little off, but I'm not quite perfect. None of us can be. I mean, it takes some time to look this good every morning, but wherever you are, that's why I have to get here to load in so I can look good in the morning, right? But really, no matter what we do, we can't be perfect. And so the very relationship we were created to be in, we can't be a part of. And God loved us enough not to leave us there. He said, I'm not just going to sit back and watch you go to death. Instead, I'm going to become human for you to do for you what you can't do for yourself. And that is what Jesus has done. He lived the perfect, sinless life you and I can't live, allowing us to be righteous, to come and knock on the door of God's presence. And then he died the eternal sacrifice for us, paying the penalty for our sins on the cross forever. No longer do we have to worry about sacrifices. We ain't got to worry about sheep, goats, festivals. We ain't got to worry about rams, or we got to worry about any of that stuff. He's done it for us once and for all. And he loved us enough not to stay dead. He said, hey, now you've knocked on God's door by being righteous. You've seen the table of God is sit in front of you, but I've risen again, defeating death itself. The thing that you deserve for your sin, not only did I die for on the cross, but to set you free from it. You don't even have to fear death. And I don't know about you, there's nothing else in this world that scares all of us more than death. That is the thing that we are most fearful of. And Jesus said, I beat it. So you can have a seat at God's table and spend time with him every day. But the only way that we can have it is through faith. So today we read Christ held all things together. My question is, what's holding you? This world will throw out their safety nets. Bank accounts, how are those looking? Street addresses, how are those looking? Well, professionally we'll talk later. But street address, cars, relationships, statuses, all of those things. We think they're a safety net, but they aren't tethered to anything but death. And when you depend on that to hold you, it's going to let you down. Yet Jesus holding you is the only thing that will bring you life. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, why we do what we do each and every week is so that not only we can be encouraged in the Lord, but also so that many can find Christ for the first time. What do I mean by that? We just shared it. Each and every one of us are sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus is that Savior who has done for us what you and I cannot do for ourselves. And what we're about to do is we're about to have a prayer. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. And as a Vine fam, we pray out loud for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time. And so I want you to know as we pray this prayer, you're not going to pray it alone. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, wherever you are right now, repeat these words after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner. Separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life, the best way I know how. And with every head bow and every eye closed, whether you're watching online or you're in the house right now, for the first time, you have received this free gift of salvation by Christ. You have trusted him through faith for the first time. You have received and saw this open invitation he has for you. I'm going to ask you to do something bold on the count of three. If that's you today, if you're in the house or you're watching online, would you please raise your hand on the count of three? Nobody's looking around. You'll see me. I'm going to be looking because I want to celebrate it with you. One, two, three. If that's you in the house and you've given your life to Christ for the first time, we would love to celebrate this with you. If you're online and you have given your life to Christ for the first time, we want to celebrate. You can do a raised hand emoji. You can shoot us a message on all of our social media. There'll probably be a link show up in a moment. If it doesn't, go to thevine.tv/respond. The reason we want to know if you gave your life to Christ is just as we said today, each and every one of us have next steps to take in Christ, or we would already be in heaven with him for eternity. So we want to help you take those next steps by getting you in touch with a local church near you. So would you please let us know if you've given your life to Christ? For the rest of us, we're about to step into this moment of worship as we are learning about what the Vine believes today. I want you to know, as we always say, we want you to leave here better than how you walked in. Whatever you've carried in today, would you lay it down at his feet as we stand up and have this moment of worship together? You know what? We should Sabbath next week. I think that's a good idea. So next week, we're going to summer Sabbath, all right? We'll still have a message online. You can watch it while you're eating your Wade's yeast rolls. That's probably a good idea. So wherever you are, we just want to remind you, we are on summer Sabbath, but we're going to complete talking about what we believe in our Vine Code. And as you go back and listen to this, we just kind of really scratched the surface. But the reason it's important is to remind us of the mission of why we're here. One more time, it ain't about us. We're not trying to have the biggest following, the biggest social media presence, the biggest website, because I would crash it, the biggest anything. It is not about our platform. It is about Jesus. Nothing else. Nothing else. We want to run the race that Christ has marked out for us. And at the end, we want to hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And that's the heart of everyone here. And so I just want to say, wherever you're watching around the world, even though we're summer Sabbathing next week, make plans to join us on the 7th. There are going to be some breakfast items. It's going to be prayed for that is zero calorie. Who can go wrong? So make sure that you're here on the 7th. We love each and every one of you. Can't wait to see your smiling faces in just a few weeks. And always remember, the best is still yet to come.